B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Zolak. I digress. That tastes different in Florida.
Bertrand. I got no brother chili.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Just got a statement from owner Stephen Ross, the Dolphins just released, saying, and I quote, "The independent investigation cleared our organization on any issue related to tanking and all of Brian Flores' other allegations." As you mentioned, that's actually not true. They say that Stephen Ross, the investigation clearly states, said all these words. It was just a matter of the report from Mary Jo White that she does not believe they were to be taken seriously. Obviously, extremely important context there. And as you mentioned, the team played hard and Flores continued to push hard and try to win every game possible. So despite the words, the offer or whatever it ended up being, whatever Mary Jo White judged it to be, simply did not work. I'll go back to the Stephen Ross statement here. It says, "I've said all along these allegations were false, malicious, and defamatory. This issue is now put to rest with regards to tampering." That part is true. The tanking not put to rest. "I strongly disagree with the conclusions and the punishment. However, Stephen Ross says he will accept the outcome because the most important thing is there are no distractions for his team."
All right, there's Tom Pelissero talking about what's going on with the Miami Dolphins, losing their first-round draft pick in 2023. There's also some fines. There's also the fact that team owner Stephen Ross is going to be barred from being around the team until October. There's other things. There's fines of $500,000. Beal is not going to be allowed to attend any league meetings for the rest of the 2022 season. And this stems from the league's investigation into the Miami Dolphins, which was essentially spearheaded and brought to light by Brian Flores. And, you know, that you go back and you think about all this stuff, the things that happened. I had kind of forgotten about the Bill Belichick text message congratulating him on the job with the Giants and stuff like that. It's a, wait a second, how did all this happen? And that's when Brian Flores raised his hand and said, "Hey, I don't want to be used as, you know, somebody's way of, getting around the Rooney Rule, number one. And, oh, by the way, they asked me to tank in Miami. And while you're at it, why don't you look into this, 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 and this?" And what the league has found is essentially, all right, it didn't tank any games, but there were certainly discussions about how it might be better to lose some games down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, you guys were talking with Tom Brady while he was still with the Patriots, in addition to talking to him while he's with the Buccaneers. So they're looking at the Dolphins for a lot of stuff. Enough smoke there to indicate there were a couple of fires. And now it's the discussion, of course, here in New England is turned back to Brady's role in all this. So, Ted, I'm sure you saw this while it was coming down and have some thoughts on the situation with both Miami and Tom Brady's role in all this.
Yeah, I wasn't completely surprised that maybe that Tom had some communication. I was a little bit surprised that the original investigation was about tanking, and then all of a sudden Tom gets pulled into it. I feel like that happens a lot in the NFL. They have a focus on one part of the of an investigation, and then they discover other things while they're investigating that, and they bring Tom in. I'd love to know what kind of communication. What's the evidence to suggest that they were communicating? What did that look like? Is it emails? Is it text? Is it they were spotted together? I would love to know more details about that before I get all worked up. But I will say this. A lot of people, questioning maybe Tom's legacy's been tainted or that this puts a darker cloud over his legacy here. That's baloney to me.
Yeah.
That is absolute baloney. If you look at – and, you know, it's we don't have enough time to go through all the things that – what I would say is where – that suggest that, you know, Tom maybe wasn't treated fairly. There's a million examples, in my opinion, that where Tom understandably – was not happy here, and I could see him in 2019 maybe having conversations. He was probably not the impetus of those conversations, but the Dolphins side coming to him and talking to him and then him being open to hearing what they had to say. And at the end of the day, I don't think that's the worst thing ever. Was he not focused in 2019? They started the season out 8-0. in 2019. And so to me, if you want to get worked up and get upset about Tom, I think you are totally misguided and you're ignoring a lot of the evidence that was there to suggest Tom Brady never should be playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He should still be a New England Patriot, and he isn't. And that's where your focus should be.
Okay. Two things on this, because Beadle asked me this yesterday, and it was kind of a long question. There's a lot going on at camp, and I don't know how he framed it. And I don't know if anybody was going after me on this yesterday, but in the overarching question, right? Does this become a part of Tom Brady's story? The answer is yes. Okay. This is part of his story. Go ahead and take a deep breath, McCone. You'll have your chance.
Okay.
I know. You want to come after me on this. Does it taint his legacy? No. Of course not. The guy won 7 Super Bowls, is the greatest quarterback of all time. At this point, it would require like really, really bad stuff to affect him in terms of how he's going to be remembered and thought of in this league. Yes, there are a handful of people who are always going to view him as a cheater, either by the Deflategate or Spygate or anything like that. So, whether it was him or not, you know, there are going to be the holdouts who will never give him his full credit. But I think most rational people are not going to have their view of Tom Brady, his image as a football player and as a champion, it's not going to hurt it one tiny bit. Where I part company with you a little bit, Ted, is and look, it was apparently this limited partner, Bruce Beal, mm-hmm. who was responsible for the conversations with Brady and his agent. Where I just part company a tiny little bit are those who are holding out and believing that Tom Brady wanted to stay in New England, wanted to finish his career here, and was going to do that if they would only have him. Nonsense. I think he was done playing here and that he wanted out. He was not nearly as enamored or at all concerned about finishing his career as a New England Patriot as some Patriot fans want to still believe and want to put it on Bill or Robert or anyone else. It was at the time, I said it then, believed it then, believe it now, it was both. Why can't it be both? Mostly because it's talk radio and you can't have it both ways. And you can't ever middle anything in life anymore. But they wanted to move on from Tom. And when I say they, I mean Bill. And Tom wanted to move on from Bill. Not from Robert or New England or anything else. Maybe that was part of it, but he wanted to play somewhere else, and Bill wanted another quarterback. He wanted to get on to the next phase.
Okay.
The fact that Tom was having conversations about being a limited partner with the Dolphins, maybe you're going to be a coach, maybe you're going to be an owner, maybe you're going to play. While he was still in New England, much less with Tampa Bay, it hurts the feelings of Patriots fans who thought, oh, they kicked him out of here. They kicked him down there. No. Tom was ready to move on, too. You just got to make your peace with it. And it doesn't have to affect his legacy. It doesn't have to affect, you know, what he means to football and to you as a Patriots fan for everything that he did here. But this should, you know, provide further evidence to you that in addition to Bill wanting him gone and convincing Robert that they needed to get rid of him, Tom was ready to go, too. He's had multiple conversations with a team that he didn't even end up going to before he went to Tampa, and then the conversations continued there. Go ahead, McBone. I can tell you have an issue.
Well, no, I just think that by the time he signs that last contract, which lets him leave at the end of the year, I think it was set in stone. So I think that, you know, Belichick got his way based on that contract, and at that time, Brady knew that this was probably going to be my last year in New England. And if that's the case, I don't have a problem with you. Like, you're your agent, and you should be talking to other teams at that point if you know that you're out the door in New England. Like, I think if you're an agent and waiting until the clock strikes midnight to be like, let's see what we got coming in at the end of the season, then you're not necessarily doing your job. You should be putting feelers out there.
And that's what the Patriots are – they would expect Tom not to talk to anybody until the last play of the last game, right? That's what they're – and so they're – we all knew at the or Tom knew before the beginning of the 2019 that he wasn't going to be here, and thus in the way the contract was set up, it suggested that Tom knew it in his heart, and so it's hard for me to blame a guy knowing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm not going to get all worked up about it. And here's the thing. You say that Tom wanted out. You know, he did want out only because Bill didn't want him anymore. That's why he wanted out. And so, yeah, Tom, at the end of the day, he probably did want out only because Bill didn't want him here anymore. If Bill wanted him here and would give him a contract commensurate with his ability, he would still be here, in my opinion. I don't think he wanted out. If he was paid, I think, along the lines of what he deserved, he'd still be here, I think, Hardy. And so, to me, that's an important kind of thing to look at. It's not, yeah, Tom wanted out here only after Bill basically said, I don't want to pay what you're worth. And so Tom's like, oh, then I don't want to be here anymore. And so that part is true, but only after Bill made it clear to Tom he didn't want him anymore.
I guess that seems simplistic, like obviously, Ted, but there are instances. Hell, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably a pretty good example of the opposite of that right now, where they don't want him in San
Definitely.
Francisco. And I don't know that he necessarily wants to leave. Now, he's going to end up leaving here. But he's been
right.
there now for a couple of years where they've made it clear they don't want him. Hell, they said they would have taken any of the five quarterbacks that went in the draft. And Garoppolo's like, I still want to be here.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
I'll play all year.
Yeah.
I'm still there. I'm working out in the building. Like, if anybody,
because he's scheduled to make $29 million this year, that's
well,
why.
That's a huge component of it. You know, don't ever look past the money, because that
the money's the whole thing.
Well, and if, even for a guy who's worth as much money as Brady, the money equals respect, and it's kind of a, you know,
it works hand in hand.
It does. So, all right, let's get into this a little bit more. We have Tommy Curran. He has some audio and a thread on the timeline of Brady talking to Miami. And for anyone who thinks that, you know, Brady should somehow be accountable for this, well, Ted, I'm sure there are, you brought up, obviously, the fact that agents and players don't wait until the day their contract expires to have these conversations. That's nonsense. We know that's not the case. But why is it being brought up now with the case of Miami? Why is it, once again, Tom Brady under the microscope? I think we all have some thoughts on that, so we'll get to that, too, coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As much as Brady has said, even I think it was on the Howard Stern show, I was done in August. I don't think he completely went through the motions after the 2019 season leading into 2020. He heard the Patriots out. He had conversations with Bill Belichick, but Belichick and the conversations that they had prior to Brady becoming a free agent in mid-March said, yeah, we can't do more than $22 million against the cap for you. Well, no, you're not going to get your 2 years and 50, which is exactly, ironically, exactly what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave him. Purpose pitch. So whether Brady was beaten down so much that he became unfaithful, or whether he should have stuck to his marriage vows, we can have different views on it, but there is no way to say that that looks good for him.
I kind of like the analogy a little bit. I think it's a little appropriate. Can I?
The marriage vows?
Marriage. They say, you know, you're in a relationship, and you know, your partner's, who knows, emotionally abusive. Just not. There's a lot of things that behind the scenes that people don't see, and there's, you know, abuse can be a lot of different things. It's but that partner that's being abused decides he's gonna go cheat on the partner, and they go, you cheat on the partner, and now the partner finds out, and they're like, you cheated on me, you awful person, but. But yet,
who's
you're being abused by this partner, there's like, I could see it kind of going
I kind of like this. I think Brady was the abused partner.
He was the abused partner. Okay, and he said, you know what? But screw this. I'm going to go cheat on you.
But who's the one who got abused? Is it Bill or is it Patriots Nation? You know? Who is the...
Patriots Nation's the kid. Patriots Nation's the kid.
They're the innocent victims in all this.
Exactly.
They are the... Perfect. Right. They're the kids in this scenario.
Okay, so Tom Brady was having conversation with his agent. So what? It happens all the time. Why is he being looked at? I said this yesterday. I said, it's kind of like the Deflategate, right? And I said this from the jump about Deflategate. It's like, if you don't want guys monkeying around with the footballs, then don't let them monkey around with the footballs. You know, rubbing them on the gravel, doing all this stuff. No, you know, bring the balls out on game day and say, here, we roughed them up a little bit, but that's it. That's all you get. Okay? Mm-hmm. But there's all this wiggle room. Why did they go after Brady for that? Why is he under the microscope for this? Because with many things that make him the greatest to ever play the game, he does things maniacally and to a degree that other people aren't willing to go to that extent. And whether it's, you know, encouraging and paying and getting guys to go and take them into a bathroom and let extra air out of them, or having these long, detailed conversations. And please, I don't want to get into it. Yes, the NFL did a ridiculous job of investigating, and they didn't have the scientific proof, but that doesn't mean they didn't do it. Of course they did it. Stop it. Grow up. Right? So whether it's doing that to that degree or having multiple conversations while you're still with the Patriots about this and taking ownership interest and all this stuff, he takes it to the next level, or his agent takes it to the next level, to the point where the league is forced to step in either by virtue of the crybaby Colts or Brian Flores, who had a legitimate beef with the way things were handled in Miami and the way he was treated. It takes something bringing it to the league and say, look, you can't ignore this anymore. And whether Brady's the only guy doing it or not, or the Patriots the only team doing it or not, they're probably doing it to an extent greater than what other players and teams do it, to where the league is forced to step in and say, enough. Now, Brady's not going to get in any trouble for this. I don't think his legacy is going to be affected by it. But if you want to know why are they picking on Brady again? Because he does it a little bit more than other guys have done it in the past, whether it's footballs, whether it's conversations that his agent or he himself is having with other teams while he's under contract with another team. It's just a tiny bit more, to the point where the league is forced to stand up and say something. And in this case, I don't think it's a matter of luck that it's only the Dolphins get in trouble. Players can't get in trouble for this. It is not it's not the onus, if I'm using that word correctly. The onus is not on the player to make sure there isn't any inappropriate conversation taking place. It's from front offices and teams. They're not supposed to be doing it. They did it a little bit too much. Not surprisingly, they did it too much with Brady, who is known for doing things too much, whether it's winning, whether it's deflating, whether it's whatever. Okay, he's a man of extremes, so it's not surprising that it happened with Brady in particular. He's not going to get in any trouble. His legacy isn't overall affected by this. But don't tell me that, like what Curran says, he's like, well, it's part of it now. It doesn't look great, and that's why it's being brought on him, because once again, it's just taking it that one extra step a little bit too far and forcing the league's hand to act on it.
And I think that's fair. And I'll say this. I don't think, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I've heard some people yesterday saying, talking about this story, that, you know, this happens all the time. I don't know. I think you're right in saying, I don't know if you're saying it doesn't happen all the time, but when it comes to this.
I think it does happen a lot, but this degree?
I would agree with you.
Okay.
That part I agree with you. To this degree, and I'd like to know what, quote unquote, this degree is. Again, I don't know what form of communication, were the emails, was the text, were they meeting for dinner? Like, what is the evidence that they have saying that these conversations took place? But the point is, I think you're absolutely right in saying that it probably was more than is typical for a player to kind of be sniffing around. And so your point is well taken. I wonder if Tom, at the end of the day, really cares about it. If it hurts his legacy, it's minimal. And I don't know if he really cares all that much about what Patriot fans, you know, that his legacy is going to take a minimal hit here with Patriot fans. I I'm not so sure he cares about that at the end of the day.
I do think some of this is bad luck for Brady, though, because you're talking about a situation where I think every team in the NFL does.
He's supremely unlucky.
No. I just think every team in the NFL probably does stuff where if you found out about it, you go, ugh, yikes. Like, that's not great. Yeah. But you've got a situation where Flores was willing to, you know, if a coach gets fired, usually they're not going to say anything about that franchise because they don't want to get blackballed from the league. In this case, Flores was willing to start to say stuff because he didn't care about that situation.
Well, okay,
it's like the Washington, football team when they were investigating Dan Snyder, and all of a sudden John Gruden is like at the epicenter
just happened here.
I thought they were investigating Dan Snyder. It's kind of like the same thing is, you know, different, clearly different things, but. Sure. Same point in that where they're investigating, tanking, and all of a sudden it's like, well, there's some tampering going on that we discovered and we got to expose, you know. And I wonder to some degree if this is Goodell sticking it to Tom a little bit, you know. I don't know.
If you're the league too, you can't come out and say that a team in our league was tanking games. You can't say that, right? With all the gambling stuff that's going on right now, that's the last thing in the world the NFL wants. So how about this? Like, you're thinking about that over here. Well, we have this over here. And by the way, I get to take down Brady in the same. Yeah. All right. I'm kind of with it.
There might be some of that, man.
Beatles' point on that, too, is like they didn't get hammered enough. They didn't look closely enough at
I'm with you on that.
The fact that the owner or somebody in the front office is having conversations with the head coach about how much better it would be for the team to lose some football games.
That's not a small thing.
That's a big deal. But, Ted, you kept asking. I wish I knew. Tampa Bay Times did a timeline of the Brady thing with the Dolphins. So it starts in August of 2019, where Bruce Beal, who is the vice chairman and limited partner with the Dolphins, first reaches out to Brady. August of 2019, as he's getting ready to go into his 20th season with the Patriots. Okay. Those communications began as early as August 2019, continued throughout the 2019 season and postseason, the league says in its findings. Beal serves on the board of TB12, Brady's health and fitness company. Not great, as Tommy Curran said.
Yeah.
Not great.
I get it, but still, there's still a lot of detail. Like, what kind of communication? I don't know. How extensive? Like, what was it, just a mere, like, how can they say there was communication? Like, did they read text messages? Was it emails? Like, and how did they get access to text messages and emails? Like, I would like to know. That's still kind of ambiguous to me.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. So he signs the 2-year deal in March of 2020. Then you jump to February of 2021, and March, where they add a year to Brady's deal and they keep him under contract. And in December, later that year, the NFL finds that the Dolphins had impermissible contact with Brady and his agent during and after the 21 season, with discussions beginning no later than December of 21, focused on Brady becoming a limited partner in the Dolphins and possibly serving as a football executive, although at times they included the possibility of his playing for the Dolphins. So an owner player.
That was in December
of 21.
Lines up with N'Keal Harry coming back from injury right there. Doesn't surprise. I'm sure he sent out a group text to the rest of the NFL being like, what do you got? Anything but N'Keal Harry. I'm willing to leave. So.
January 25th of this year, Sean Payton, represented by Don E., confirms his retirement. And then on February 1st, 3 weeks afterward, Brian Flores files his 58-page federal lawsuit. So, that's kind of where, you know, it starts again in earnest, and when presumably the league really starts looking into things. So there's not a lot of meat there in terms of, you know, the timeline from what the Tampa Bay Times was talking about and, you know, what they find. But it does go back to show you that, you know, for people, and for when Tom Brady went on the Howard Stern show, Tommy Curran talks about it, he goes, I knew beforehand that I wasn't going to stay in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you were talking apparently with like multiple teams that have multiple options of where to go. It wasn't just like, oh, I knew they weren't going to want me. I was leaving. No, you're having contact with other teams. Not the worst thing in the world. Happens a lot, I'm sure. But if conversations continued all throughout that last season in New England, then there is something to be said, I guess, for the extent to which these conversations were taking place. And it's not that I think he absolutely mailed it in as his last season or he wasn't interested in winning. I just don't think that's in his DNA.
I agree.
That's not a part of it. What is at least mentionable is the fact that the conversations were taking place with a team that he didn't even end up going to. That's how much he had decided he was gone.
And I think at the end of the day, I'm not that upset about it. And I don't think Patriot fans should either when you consider all the evidence that led up to August 2019 when reportedly he had his first conversation with the Miami Dolphins about maybe possibly being an owner slash player there. I just think he came off of a season in 2017 or 18 where he won the Super Bowl two out of the last 3 years. He was an MVP and they offered him a contract that was like a joke. It was a joke. And it's a huge insult. And I know it's business, but it feels personal when you've done all the things you've done for this franchise. And so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for him having a wandering eye going into his last year.
Sure.
And when he knew that it was his last year, because the Patriots knew it was his last year because they didn't want him back.
It was both. And I will just say this. A little bit of consistency would be nice. If you're going to hammer him for Deflategate, don't give him a total pass here. If you're on the other side and a Patriots honk and you're like, I can't believe you do this. Well, wait a second.
Yeah.
But you also couldn't believe he was deflating footballs.
Okay.
Have some consistency in your assessment of Tom Brady. That's all I'm asking for. Let's get
just for the record, Deflategate, take air out of the balls, bro. If that makes you throw the ball better, take air out of the balls.
Let's get to your calls here. We got a bunch of them. One open line at 617-779-0985. It's all on the Patriots here. Hardy, Ted Johnson, Tim McCone has got the headlines right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By the way, Hattie, I like
he's the calming voice of the midday show.
You're siding with PK.
Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right to the phones here, 617-779-0985. Jay has been holding very patiently, and Natick has a question on linebackers for linebacker Ted Johnson here on Zolak and Bertrand. Jay, what do you got?
What's up, guys? Only made sense. Real quick for you, Hardy. My wife's actually a vet tech. She house sat and dog sat for Bobby Orr, a black lab named Scout. So,
nice.
real quick, what do you... This linebacking court doesn't really seem to have that guy in the middle that, you know, is going to take control. Like, we had Mayo, we had Hightower for a lot of years. We've been pretty stable there. And, I mean, how deep is this core? How good do you think it could potentially be?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not as concerned about the linebacking core. At least the inside linebacking core is maybe some people are. I hate to put it this way, but I just felt like Dante Hightower's best years have been kind of long, behind him. So I bring him back the same guys, Van Noy, and I thought Van Noy underperformed last year as well. You know, you need some fresh blood. And And even though there's unproven players that we don't know much about, I think sometimes that can be a better thing. Mm-hmm. I think getting younger, even though they're not as experienced, and even though you don't recognize the names, that doesn't mean that position is going to be worse off. I'm actually pretty excited about the new guy, and it's basically the names you're hearing: Raekwon McMillan, I guess, and Mack Wilson. Raekwon they brought in last year, but he got hurt in training camp, so he missed all of last year. They're high on him. I've been seeing him making a lot of plays. You're hearing Anfernee Jennings, who was on IR last year, who they drafted 3 years ago. He's making a lot of plays out there. Mack Wilson, who they traded for this offseason for Chase Winovich, he's making a lot of plays out there again. If you look at their profile and their resumes, it's not they're not impressive. Any of those guys I've mentioned. However, they're getting an opportunity to get the lion's share of the snaps, and I just think I feel like that position might be better off. Even though we don't recognize the names, I think it's going to be better off than maybe it's been in the last few years for those reasons. So I'm not as concerned as maybe some people are.
All right, let's go to Bob in Quincy. Bob, what do you got for us this morning?
Hey, gentlemen, two things. On Brady, I don't think he should be above any kind of criticism, but I just – maybe I'm an idiot. I just assumed he was talking to other teams even after that Eagles Super Bowl. So, the Patriots fans, that if this affects their opinion of him one way or the other, I'm a little, like, surprised. Whatever I thought about Brady before, this is the same. And then, Ted, I have a question for you. I thought it was a little surprising that the team didn't do more to like bolster the interior of the defensive line in this offseason, whether by draft or in free agency. And just building off of some of your comments about like the amount of cover two that you think they'll be playing this year, is that surprising to you too? And does it really help to explain the Devon Godchild re-signing or extension?
Yeah, it's. I would have been happy if they got another big body in there. Devon Godchild is he overpaid? Yes, but is he a serviceable nose tackle that's a big body that's hard to move? Yes, and there's value in that. The front seven to me is the biggest question mark of this team, and so they're dominating. It sounds like they dominated, according to Tim said in his update. You know, he quoted Greg Bedard, who saw practice today. He said it was terrible again for the offense. So it's hard to maybe evaluate how this defense really is when you see the offense playing as bad. But you know what? I am concerned about their interior because it's again, unproven guys at linebacker. Although I am optimistic, I don't think it can get maybe much worse than it's been. And I do have maybe some question marks about Lawrence Guy, Dietrich Wise, those guys. I wish they were, I wish they had maybe upgraded those positions. But I will say this, and I've been at practice almost every day. Christian Barmore is going to be out of his mind this year. Christian Barmore is the one guy like on the defensive line that is making plays, that is putting guys on their ass in one-on-ones and team drills. I've seen him put guys on their keisters, and that always gets my attention. So watch for Barmore to be kind of a wrecking ball out there and play all different positions. So if Barmore plays like he's been playing in training camp, that's going to be a huge, huge, huge arrow and optimistic kind of arrow pointing up for this front seven if he can play like he's been playing in training camp.
All right, let's get to Dave and Lynn, who's got something on Tom Brady and the Dolphins tampering. What do you got for us, Dave?
Yeah, basically on the tampering. Tampering basically is the way of the – hold on one second.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, take your time. Stand by.
Yeah, let me give you the call back. I'm sorry.
You okay?
No, he's fine. He's going to call us back.
Oh, he's calling us back. Okay. Is that what he said?
He's going to put you on hold.
If anybody can empathize, it's Tim.
I can relate, trust me.
Tim McCall.
Yeah, you're good.
Stand by. I use it all the time, McCall.
You have to, yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. Is it a TV thing, the standby?
I don't even know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, it's more of a me thing. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, no need to stand by right now. Quick break, and then we're back talking more Patriots. By the way, Bruce Arena is going to be joining us later on, Revolution head coach and sporting director. So still a lot to get to. And I guess the tweets from training camp, I mean, McCone, you had a couple of buttes there. We just mentioned them again, but you had a couple there at the 11:30 headline. So I guess we should get to more of those because, unfortunately, it sounds like more of the same today at Patriots training camp. So more of that coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
And ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tweets from training camp.
Oh, we got some good ones. Hey, McComb, why don't you launch us off with the one that you had in the 11:30 headline there, if you've got it readily available, because, you know, we don't want to bury the lead here. That was a pretty good one that you shared with us a few minutes ago.
Yeah, if you like offense, this is definitely exciting. This is courtesy of Greg Bedard, who's down at Gillette. He says, another rough offensive practice to finish the week in full pads. Being generous in team periods, first offense ran 6 successful plays to 10 fails. Blocking still major issue, plus no Matthew Judon for the defense. Jones is being indecisive. Looks like he doesn't trust what's going on around him. They've improved each day, but it's been minimal. Things have to pick up next week. Big plays few and far between.
I saw the same thing, guys, in practice this week with Mac Jones, where he was holding the ball too long. So he's indecisive. He doesn't know where to go with the football. This is supposed to be an offense. It's supposed to make things simpler. Right now, look, it feels like that's not the case for Mac Jones. Mac Jones is clearly frustrated. His comments after practice yesterday indicates that. And then more today, holding the ball, patting the ball. It's because he's confused. He's thinking too much.
Let's have some fun though. All right,
we're gonna
you know, get back to the X's and O's and the, you know, completion percentages. But this was the hosing of the rookies today.
Oh, there you go.
At training camp. Mark Daniels, Matthew Slater has a hose and is soaking down the rookies, a Foxborough tradition like no other. Ted Johnson, I say to you that this is hazing, pure and simple, and I thought we were better than this.
It's inexcusable.
What's
next? What's next? Are they going to shave these guys' heads?
They're going to make them stand up and sing rookie skit night? What's next?
You know what? They got to investigate. This is, I just think this work environment is, it's too toxic.
Mark Daniels, in this exercise, Mac Jones rolls the football in the middle of a patch of grass that's soaked. Rookies have to dive for the ball while being hit with the hose. How dare they?
Yeah, this is, you know what? If whoever the union head is for this team, if they don't know the number for the union, I'll give it to them. They got to call this in. This is inexcusable.
Yeah. Were you subjected to any hazing as a rookie, Ted?
Had my head shaved. I had to sing some songs. You know, just your typical stuff. But for the most part, I was left. You know, they buzzed my head a little bit. Vincent Brown, you know, had me sing some songs. You know,
do you remember the songs?
Yeah, it was some Pearl Jam stuff. You know,
could have been worse.
It could have been worse. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for McCone, that probably would have been torture. He would have very much appreciated what a Zach Brown song.
Yeah, a little Kenny Chesney, something like that.
Oh yeah, that's
a true artist. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
The rookie skits. You know, and I'm not. I'm the last guy that feels is wants to go out there and perform. And I'm not a funny guy. That's not my thing. And so,
being a California kid, didn't you have access to maybe some like underground sketch comedy guys? Like, I don't know if Odenkirk was working out there at the time, but you could have tapped into them and said, I need you to workshop some ideas for me and maybe help me come up with something that I could use. Maybe that, you know, had been repurposed from Mr. Show or something like that.
I just wasn't running in the right circles, I guess, in high school.
Apparently
to know those guys. Yeah.
Too much time on the beach, kid.
Yeah.
Too much. It was big surfing high school. Ted Johnson
big
went
time.
To.
You know, who I ran into at practice the other day is Lonnie Paxton.
Oh, nice.
And Lonnie resides in my hometown, and I didn't realize that. So his family lives in Carlsbad. I went to Carlsbad High School, and so he has three beautiful boys, and his oldest son starts Carlsbad High School, I think, next year.
Wow.
And it was pretty cool to see that. He said, do you remember the jersey that I told you was retired at the – he went to the school, and they have my jersey retired there. And this is the guy. So I thought that was pretty cool. It was known for pro surfers. We have a ton of pro surfers that came out of Carlsbad. Taylor Knox is probably one of the biggest ones. And
Mark Fu?
Marfu, I don't think he didn't go there.
It's the only surfer I can name out there, Kelly Slater. Yeah.
Kelly Slater.
He came up
out
with
of
two
Florida.
That's pretty impressive.
Two pro surfers.
But you know, originally came out of Carlsbad. It's Sean White. Sean White is originally from Carlsbad.
McCone, if your alma mater, any of them, were to ever retire anything of yours, what would it be?
That's a great question. I got to get back to you on that. I mean, maybe probably something to do with like eating or something like that, I would think.
You don't
definitely not athletic performance.
Well, I mean, like a lapel mic, maybe.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Could they do something?
Yeah, we didn't have a TV station in my high school. Did you have a TV station in your high school?
Yeah, in the 80s, when I say how long you've been doing radio, I'm like, I mean, if you want to go back to my high school radio station where I did the morning show, the Cliff and Rob Coffee Shop.
Get out of it.
That started in 1987.
Wow.
So I started
doing impressive.
A morning show every day for 1 hour before school started, my junior and senior year. So, yeah, we had a little 100-watt radio station, and we would just go on there and, you know, play songs. And, you know, we had skits, much like your rookie skits.
Yeah,
we would do stuff like that. Oh, maybe.
We did some mail. Yeah, there you go. Maybe. Just a jar of mail. This was tough.
On the simulcast right now, you're seeing Tim McCone when he was eating the jar of mayonnaise, so maybe they could retire a jar of mayo or maybe the plastic spoon that you use.
It's always nice to be known for that, right? Not exactly a sports take, but just hammering some mayo.
So your high school jersey. He is retired, Ted.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's cool. Yeah, you know, really cool. I shoehorned that in there when I'm talking about Lonnie Paxton somehow. But yeah. So
Lonnie Paxton, fan favorite. I mean, as a long snapper.
No, it's such a good point, by the way. Like, yeah, name me another long snapper.
It was funny. I had to laugh. He walks into practice and he sees Joe Cordona. And they're waving to each other. Like, Joe's out on the
right.
Field.
It's a brotherhood.
And I'm sitting there going, really? Like, like long snappers? I don't know. When I walk on the field, Dante Hightower doesn't wave to me, you know? But I thought that was kind of funny.
Do you think Cardona, like, just grew up watching Lonnie Paxton's film, saying someday maybe it could be me out there? You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean,
you never know. Yeah. You might have.
Does it happen in other sports? Like Nick Green, whenever he sees another utility infielder from the Red Sox from 20 years ago, it's like, hey, you and like this.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
He's logged in 12 years, Lonnie Paxton. You are a long snapper for 12 years. My man, God bless you. That's
I will say this, being down there at camp, like, that's the gig to have. Just a long stay. While all you guys are working out, you just kind of hang out a little bit. Yeah, you're not really doing much throughout the day.
Well,
that's pretty sweet.
It's a great job.
Yeah.
I think it was during maybe one of the COVID months, you know, when we had no sports and we had a long, you know, one of those week-long discussions, like Shark v. Bear.
Yeah.
But the discussion was, if you were called into action tonight to fill a role in professional sports, Tim, we need you to come do this. What is the one thing you could say yes to? And, you know, the answer, you know, and from people on staff to callers and stuff like that. I mean, the only thing I could come up with for myself was, I could probably go caddy for someone on tour. And I remember Billy Lanny was like, you're selling yourself so short, Bob. You could go there. You could play. I'm like, I absolutely cannot play. I couldn't be a placeholder, you know, for the final pairing of the day. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. You know, Billy, of course, said he could play first base.
Oh,
with
yeah,
Red
I remember
Sox.
That. I remember that. Yeah.
And I'm like, you have to hit, too. He's like, no problem. I'll make contact.
Oh,
I might even go like 1-for-3. Like, he was absolutely no doubt. But a lot of people said, I could go out tonight or today and be a long snapper in the NFL. And I thought it was ridiculous. But if you've done it in a past life, and do you have to worry about getting hit,
nope.
Ted?
Not anymore.
So there's no contact.
I'm sitting here. When you said it a few minutes ago, I was trying to. I think people are onto something. That might be the one
where you wouldn't get exposed quickly.
I could go play in the NFL right now as a long snapper.
Okay,
I wouldn't be great at it.
Okay, so I couldn't do it because I couldn't get the ball back that far. Ted, you could probably do it.
It wouldn't be perfect, but I could be serviceable.
Right
now, as a long snapper.
You might be able to play linebacker still. You're selling yourself way short.
But those guys don't get hit anymore. You on field goals, you can't push their head down. They basically can't touch them. So yeah. All you got to do is snap the ball and then run down the field.
What did you come up with, McComb? What would be your one thing you could do tonight? Called into action.
I don't think there is one. We talked about it. Like, what sport would you not get exposed incredibly quick? Like, the first time I swung a golf club, you'd be like, that guy is not a professional golfer.
Could you caddy? Whoa. Have you ever caddy before?
No, I would be a terrible caddy.
Okay,
terrible
can't
caddy.
Do that.
I can't do that.
This,
no.
And this is your sport, and it's become my sport because my son plays it. What about a goalie in soccer?
Oh, there's no chance. There's absolutely no chance.
But if you
chance.
Dive, you know what I mean?
No,
yeah, no you don't think
God,
so?
No.
No?
No chance.
Okay.
I can't do it. Would not be able to do it. No. I'd be terrified, number one. Like, I mean, the shots that you have to face down, those are no fun.
Don't you think, like, a basketball, like, just from... I think you could run around a little bit and not get exposed super quickly. You could, a couple minutes you wouldn't know necessarily.
Yeah. Nope.
We need you for a minute in garbage time at the end of the game. Could you go out there and
thinking about, like, you know, when you're watching, like, a blowout in college and the walk-ons come in and instantly, you know, you're like, all right, that kid's clearly a walk-on. Yeah. So you're probably right. You probably would figure that out pretty fast.
I could do the last minute cleanup in basketball. I could. Okay. I could run around.
NBA.
For the last minute. You know, the scrubs are in there. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think so.
Billy might be onto something about first base. He might be right. Yeah. Although Franchi Cordero would argue that point, but yeah.
We haven't even gotten to Jackie Bradley Jr. today.
How about that?
Well, Milliken, feel free to chime in when we get to that, but we have more on today's training camp with the Patriots. That we'll do in 90 seconds here. No, ooh, we're late. Sorry, Milliken. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back at it here on Solak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.